prepare our hearts and minds for worship. Let us pray together. And now call us into your worship, your time, your place. And let us worship with you with all that we are, with every ounce of our being, expecting miracles within the worship and within our souls as this week goes on. Let us expect that in a way that honors and glorifies your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Page 163, Asked What Great Things I Know. Let us continue standing and sing together. Page 163, or on the screen.
Ask me.
page 8, a confession and pardon for a communion. I'd ask that you would join me in that time together. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Let us join together in a time of prayer. The Lord's Prayer will be during communion. We ask, O Lord, that you would grant us this day the healing of this moment. For the prayer request within the souls of those gathered here, and for those who could not be with us, we ask, O Lord, that you would grant us the healing and the strength of your Holy Spirit. For the grace that you give us in this time and for the love that you show us, allow us to open our hearts and our minds and our souls to you in all that we do. Grant to us a peace and a strength that comes only from you and only through you. And help us this day to pray for and be with Dan Lottman's family, to be with them and to give them your peace and strength. As we pray for others within our community of faith, we do pray, O Lord, for schools that are back in session or will be back in session this week, that you bless the students and that you give the teachers and the leaders of the church, the principals and the guidance counselors, that key word that defines everything, and that word is patience. Patience for themselves and for their students and the people around them. Open our hearts and our minds and our souls to all that is done, and in your grace let us find your Spirit. Now be one with us, and let us be one with you. And we'll offer this prayer in the name of the one who died on the cross and rose again the third day, Jesus our Lord and our Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. Let us stand and sing "How Firm a Foundation," page 529. Standing together and singing together. please be seated. We asked our ushers to come forth this time, please. Let us pray together. It is you, O Lord, that gives us strength and power and hope. Let us give to you as if we truly believe that, having a faithfulness that overcomes the weakness of our doubt. May we give to you in all that faithfulness. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. If you have your Bibles, I want you to find two places. This is why I let you sit down for this. The first is Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6, and then Genesis 5, 18 through 24. Okay, have y'all got those? Hebrews 11, 5 and 6, and Genesis 5, 18 through 24. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for the beauty of it, for the gathering, and for faithfulness. Whether we have faithfulness now or whether we're seeking to find it for later times, we thank you for faithfulness. We thank you for the beauty of it, and the joy of it, and the grace in it. Help us, O Lord, to find that faith that changes us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, we are still early on in our time with Hebrews 11. In Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 5 and 6 says this. Listen to it carefully. If you got your Bibles, read it carefully. And watch what it says. By faith, Enoch was taken so that he did not experience death. And he was not found, because God had taken him. For it was attested before he was taken away that he had pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would approach him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now let's watch it for a second before we get to the Genesis text and start looking at our points that we have for the morning. I want you to see just a very few things here. If you watch this, Enoch was taken and did not experience death because God had taken him. Now notice the reasons. For it was attested before he was taken away that he had pleased God. Would you know if you had pleased God or not? Questions setting up for Genesis. Okay, so there's just questions in front of you before we get to the Genesis part. He pleased God, and here's how we know, and let's see how we do. If we're taking a test, school starting back, we're taking a test on faith. Notice the facts. Number one, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So, first part of it is, do you have faith? Now, here we go. Do you have faith? For whosoever would approach him must believe that he exists. Notice the conversation. Do you believe? Now, I should get an amen here, but I know we don't amen much, but or amen. Do you believe God exists? Amen? You believe that, right? Your first test is you believe that God exists. And that he rewards those who seek him. Not only do you believe he exists, but do you seek God? Okay? Remember, we're talking about pleasing God. Okay? Do you seek God? The answer is amen to that. Yes, amen. So you believe he exists, and you seek him. Right, notice the issues here. If you know that, and you know that that's what happens, then we have essential faith. All right, now go to Genesis chapter 5. Begin with verse 18. Now we're going to back up just a little bit and talk about Enoch's father. When Jared had lived 162 years, any of y'all feel young now? When he had lived 162 years, y'all are just, we're just mere babes in this. 162 years, he became the father of Enoch. So y'all have to live at least 162 years to have your first child. Amen? Can y'all imagine at 162 beginning to have your family? Notice what he does. 160 years, he became a father of Enoch. Jared lived after the birth of Enoch 800 years and had other sons and daughters. So over the next 800 years, what did he have? More children. Can you imagine how many children you could have over the next 800 years? Amen. Mary Lynn and I had about 600 kids. So all we had to do was talk about having a kid. We got pregnant. So it'd be simple. Had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Jared was 962 years. And then I want you to notice the next three words. And he died. In the Genesis stories, especially in this section of Genesis, we begin to talk about a lot of people who lived X number of years, and all of them end up, all but one, end up with the words, and he died. The other part of this is very interesting and always something we've got to pay attention to. They always name the firstborn son. Everything else is always put together by saying, and other sons and daughters. Never mentions who else was born. We get firstborn, and firstborn was given because what happens to the firstborn son? Firstborn son receives the inheritance. It's not that the other children don't get something, but the firstborn receives inheritance. That is the pattern of the Old Testament. That's the way it's written. Now, there are notable exceptions. If you read through the text, you'll find notable exceptions. Joseph being one. Think of this. We have notable objections in this, but as a whole, it's always the firstborn. Let's talk about one other. Abraham's firstborn son was who? Y'all know? Ishmael. From the handmaiden, right? Because Abraham and Sarah became impatient with God. Any of y'all ever become impatient with God? God's timing doesn't seem to fit your timing. You know, God responds to that by saying, "My ways are not your ways, says the Lord." Okay, so they become impatient. They have a firstborn child from a handmaiden, and that causes all kind of issues within the family. So eventually God does what God says he's going to do, and they have their firstborn son, the two of them, and that one becomes the one who receives the inheritance, because it's the one that God meant to have born first. It's not that Ishmael doesn't receive an inheritance of some kind, because he does, but the firstborn that was supposed to be there, the one who was supposed to be first, receives the inheritance. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Notice you never add anything but that. So there's exceptions to firstborn. Always remember the exceptions to the firstborn. It changes the reading of Scripture as you walk through it. And just to add to this before we get to the next part of the reading, Jesus was the what? Firstborn from the Virgin Mary. Not only has he received the inheritance, Jesus is the inheritance. Think through your processes as you read and you look at things. That's why it's so important at the birth story to proclaim that he is the firstborn that comes from Joseph and Mary. It's essential that we see how that unfolds. Those things are very important, but today we leave it right there. We got about 5 hours. I want to talk about it on Wednesday night Bible study. We can have at it. Okay, but that's where that is. Verse 21. When Enoch had lived 65 years as a youngster, he became the father of Methuselah. Now, who lives the longest, as far as we can understand, of time? Methuselah. All right. Enoch is his father. So that's part of Enoch's heritage, is being the father of Methuselah. Okay? Now, watch it. Enoch walked with God after the birth of Methuselah 300 years, and, sounding very familiar, and had other sons and daughters. We don't know who they are. Thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God. He pleased God. Through faith, with Hebrews and this together, he pleases God, he walks with God, he stays with God, he pleases God. Next question for y'all, again working on the same theme. How do you know you please God? You, me. The example set by seeking, believing, and loving God. The example is set for us on how we know we please God. Notice there's not all these other things. In the Enoch story, what are we supposed to do? Believe God exists? seek God, love God. All the burdens, this is what Jesus has so much trouble with the Pharisees and Sadducees, all the burdens that we place on people. Have you ever noticed how many burdens we place on people as the church, as the church has done through the ages? You got to do this, you got to do this, you got this lineage of things you have to do. You got to believe God exists, you got to seek God, and you got to please God by walking with God and loving God. All the other things you're supposed to do will come out of relationship. So believing God exists, seeking God in relationship. Have you ever noticed in family life that families fall apart when they lose relationship? That we have trouble with our walk with God when we lose relationship. That walking with, that listening to, that hearing God. That we are called to be in, if you allow the reference, we're called to be in the garden with God as we walk with God, in the cool of the evening. We all think that went away when they got kicked out of the garden. Well, you know, you still have the ability to walk with God in the cool of the evening and find God's presence and God's grace in your life. You still have that place that you can be with God without all those burdens that we place on ourselves, without all that pain that we give ourselves. And that's the problem Jesus had with the Pharisees and Sadducees. Again, they kept saying, you got to wash your hands so many times. He kept saying, you clean the outside, but you neglect the inside. Can't heal on the Sabbath. And he tries to say to them, the Sabbath is meant for the people, not the people for the Sabbath. It's that sense of how we understand the walking with God and the healing. He keeps trying to get them to get to that inner core of existence and being with God. He wants us to walk with God and love God. See, he's working on us to see that. He wants us to watch it. Enoch walked with God. Then he was no more, because God took him. How would y'all like that? Anybody for it? Come home one day, you've walked with God, you've been with God, you've loved God, you've sought God, you had faith in God, you've done all those things this has called us to do, and one day you come home or you're out walking in the field and God says, we're really close companions to each other, we talk to each other, you seek me, you love me, we walk with each other every day, come on home. Come be with me. And all of a sudden, you don't die, you just cease to be here. I wonder how your family would feel about that. I'd want to leave a note. Dear Mary Lynn, God and I have walked together in the cool of the evening today, and God wanted me to come on home, so I've left. I didn't die, I just went to be with the Lord. Love you, David. Now, my doubt is that he left Enoch time to leave a note. But I'd want to leave a note. Have you ever thought about how close your walk with God is? See, that's part of that seeking. It's part of allowing yourself to fully seek God in all that you say and do. It's chasing after God, even though God chased you first. It's wanting to know more today than you yesterday. It's wanting to feel a closeness with God more today than you felt yesterday. It's seeking after God with your entire being. It's that walk. Enoch simply went to the house. He ceased to exist in this life. And he did not taste death. Everybody else we read about, you hear about the children and the firstborn and the number of years they lived, and at the end of it he said, and they died. Enoch says, the story about Enoch says, he just went to be with God. Even Jesus dies and had to be raised again on the third day. So I wonder, how many of us believe in miracles still? Y'all believe in them? You do? Amen? Enough to believe that you could just go walk with God and not die? I have had the pleasure, and I mean it, it's a pleasure, an honor, maybe the better word, to stand by bedsides and hold people's hands as they are dying and have the family pray that the Lord take them so they get out of the pain. Sometimes I think we're praying the wrong thing. Instead of asking God to take them, to get them out of the pain so that they die, maybe we should stop the prayer with, Lord, would you just take them home and not make them face death? I know it puts you out there, and if he doesn't do that, then you might look like, well, you shouldn't have said that. But faith says that we say things that we think God can do even if God doesn't do them. Faith suggests a direction that most of us are afraid to go in. Because it's faith. Faith has no ending or beginning. Faith has no ultimate way of not happening. Faith is the miraculous waiting to become the fact. And if you don't believe that, when you get to heaven, or maybe before, just ask Enoch. Because that's what faith is. Now think about that when we come to communion. You'll find communion on page 15 or on the screen. The faith of the moment of Peter, and then the faith of the forgiveness after the resurrection. The faith of the moment when Jesus looks at the thief and says, this day you will be with me in paradise. The faith of the moment when Jesus gives himself back to God. The faith of his mother at the foot of the cross, not understanding but believing. By the way, understanding is not part of faith. It's the least of anything that has to do with faith. For all of us who think we have to understand, it's not meant for us. Faith is the moment that Jesus shares with his apostles and his disciples when he comes to this moment. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is a right and good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets who looked for that day when justice shall roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, when nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. At his ascension, you exalted him to sit and reign with you at your right hand. On the night which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, our honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, by the grace of God, let us pray the prayer that you taught your children, the apostles, when you said to them, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." That's Marilyn and Gracie, if they would come and join me. This is the body of Christ broken for you. Amen. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Come as God leads you to come, let us partake of this communion of Christ. Thank you. I wanted Gracie to serve this morning because I said earlier when she was five, she was actually four. She served communion the first time at the church that she was attending with Pastor Gordon, who more than likely will watch this service sometime tonight or tomorrow. And then she got to serve at annual conference the next year. And so she's been up front serving communion since she was 4 years old. Exactly where children ought to be up front and doing, so they're part of the church. So I wanted to do that today because we have that holiday or celebration for how many years that's happened. So you can call Pastor Gordon today and tell him it's his fault. Okay, and so, well, friends, it's 10 till. Do you want me to preach 10 more minutes? Would y'all like to get out early? Is it okay to go home now with everybody? Okay, let's pray together, and then we will, after we sing our last hymn, Be Still My Soul, page 534, then we will be dismissed. Let us stand and sing together. On this glorious day, go in peace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ walk with you. May your faithfulness please God. And may in all things, may we remind ourselves that God exists and miracles still happen. Let us go forth in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.